You're listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference. Right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So in our author's corner today, we are speaking with Patrick, the author behind The Language of Love, a two-sided coin. Now, the title alone raises questions, and as you can see, talking about two sides, about relationships, right? About communication and the hidden layers of how people give and receive love. Now, since we don't want to make assumptions about what the book is or his background, this conversation is all about exploring then the inspiration and the ideas behind the title, behind the book itself, and what made it necessary, and also how you can be benefited as you engage in it. So the journey that led him to put these thoughts on paper. He joins us now on the line. That's Mr. Mavileetsa, who is going to be sharing with us on this very important outlook, The Language of Love, a two-sided coin. Good morning to you, sir, and welcome to Adventist World Radio.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for having me. Hey, greetings to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much and welcome. We appreciate you taking the time to come through and talk to us on this very exciting book, The Language of Love, a two-sided coin. Quite interesting.
Thank you. I find it interesting as well.
I would think so. I would think so. And I don't know. Are you a person who just loves this idea of wordplay? Because I'm thinking, how on earth did you come up with this one? Yeah. Maybe talk to us. The Language of Love, a two-sided coin. As you get into the title, talk to us. When did this book come out?
The book was officially published in 2020. Mm-hmm. I wrote it during COVID when I was back home.
Okay.
And I had nothing to do. So I sat down and, you know, looked at how we as people describe love and how we feel about it. Mm-hmm. So I wrote it, I released it in towards the end of 2020. Mm.
Was there a trigger? Were you, since you were back home, were you remembering some old flame or something? What happened? Yeah.
That's funny, because when I was back home, I've never even dated a girl.
Is it?
Back home. Yeah. So I don't think it was a trigger as much as wanting to understand more. So I started to do my research, and there's an American book called Five Languages of Love.
Yes.
And I read it. Yeah. And I read it over and over again. And I'm like, but this is not how we were taught love as Black Africans. Mm. You know, so I wanted to find out my own way what, you know, love means for us as Black people. Mm-hmm. I interviewed a couple of people, young and old. There were 50-year-old that I interviewed as well, just to check and find out what their description of love is.
Mm-hmm. So how did you then end up on this one here? The Language of Love is a two-sided coin.
So I said it's a two-sided coin because when both parties get into a relationship, everybody's got their basics of what love is about, or how they see love, and it is almost always different. And I find that people who sees love the same are never together. It's always somebody who sees love this way and somebody who sees love that way. Yeah. And there's always a battle, because when two people understand love differently, and then they start, you know, there's a language to everything. There's a language to love. Mm-hmm. There's a language to caring. There's a language to treating somebody well. Sometimes you use your own love language to treat somebody, you know, the way you think that they need to be treated, and then they do the same to you, and then it clashes there. So yeah,
I hear you, and it's a funny one, because I know they do say opposites attract, right? But surely you'd almost think that if you view things the same way, you'd be more drawn to each other. But it's always the opposite that we're finding out there. Now, talk to us about some of the observations or experiences that made you curious about understanding how people view and express love, that also then maybe kind of added to the fuel that brought into this book.
So I realized when I was tracking, you know, the first time that I approached the girl, I realized that I grew up without a father, so everything that you are in life is connected to how you love.
Mm.
So I grew up without a father.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, got a bit of flu.
Oh,
I grew up without a father, and the person that taught me love was my brother.
Mm.
But the thing is, my brother was only 2 years older than me. What did he know about love at that time?
True.
You know, and he said to me, I was scared of girls, obviously. You know, and that's why I dedicated myself to studies and books and everything else from that young age.
Okay.
So my brother said to me, dude, and I said, yo, I like that girl. And he said, go get her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I'm scared. He said, no. And then he said something that was profound, that changed my life at that moment. He said, if she doesn't like you, she won't kill you. She will tell you she doesn't like you, and then walk away.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I started using. But I realized that I did not have my own blueprint of love.
Mm.
I used my brother's.
Ah.
You know? And as I grew up, I realized that my brother doesn't even treat the ladies nice.
Mm.
You know? They like him because he's a bad boy. If he doesn't want, he treats them like terribly. You know what bad boys does?
Mm.
You know? So I thought that's how love is, because when you treat a woman bad and they come back, you think, okay, good. That's what this women like.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So he blueprinted me in a way that, you know, I lived most of my young life understanding love from his point of view.
Mm.
And I couldn't find mine until I was like really, really, not really, really old, but until I was like 22, 20, 23,
mm-hmm.
then I realized that this is not how I want to love people, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a moment, I mean, you talk about this age group that you were in. Is there something that triggered this idea of saying, you know what, I want to do something different? Was an experience that was behind it, especially that you then said, actually, no. Let's then move this concept actually to then be a book as 2020 came to be.
Yeah, I thought about this concept actually later on in life.
Okay.
I think when I wrote it, I was about, now people are going to know my age. I think I was about, I was in my late 30s, you know, when
uh-huh.
I wrote the book.
Uh-huh.
Because I never write about love, because I never thought I understood love
mm.
until, you know, later on. So I wrote it in my late 30s, and because I always write about healing and, you know, grief and all the other things,
mm.
But I never wrote about love. So I said, let me take a chance and see what we can find out.
Yeah.
Because also at that age, I realized that you get into this relationship and somebody teaches you how to treat them,
okay.
and you treat them that way, and you know, it doesn't work out, you get into another one, and then you are used to treating a woman this way, but this woman is different.
It's different.
Now you change your blueprint every time you get into a different relationship, you know, and now, and this is why it's important to be with one woman, because then it'll affect your whole life if you do that. So if you keep changing women, they teach you different things about love and how to love them, and you get married, and then you think that's how you should treat your wife. Now she moves in, you stay with her, and you're treating her the way she doesn't want to be treated. And then that's when, you know, people think that marriages don't last. But marriages sometimes don't last because people have too many experiences which gave them too many blueprints of love, of what love is. And your wife loves to receive flowers at least weekly. But instead of you going to the shop to get flowers, you say, let me send her money. She can buy flowers for herself. And then she doesn't feel loved. And you wonder, I give this woman money. Why is she not happy? She's always complaining. Or the other one says, hey, my wife loves nice things. Let me buy her a big, nice, big car. And then when she goes to a holiday, I give her everything she needs. She goes to a holiday with the kids. I stay home and work for my family. And then she looks at you. She divorces you tomorrow because you are never there. When they are going on a holiday, you are never there. And then You wonder, what did I do wrong? Because I'm working hard for my family. And did this thing. You never asked your wife, what
They
do you
want to
like?
receive love.
How they want to receive love.
Potent,
but, but,
potent.
but in most cases as well, people do tell you and do show you how they want to be loved. But because you grew up thinking, especially men make this mistake a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up thinking every woman wants money. And you for and and you forget that money is a resource. It is not brought into this world to make people happy. Sometimes your presence matters. Money, yes, we need it. It's a resource. But people start treating, you know, money as, you know, the thing that holds the relationship.
Yeah, no, potent indeed. Although, yes, indeed, every woman loves money. But we do get the point. Now, Patrick, you mentioned earlier on this idea of the book that you read a couple of times, The Five Love Languages. And I mean, when you talk about the genre of love in the book space, it is it's quite a populated genre. There's quite a lot of information that came through. When you then wrote this book, right, the one we are conversing about today, The Language of Love, A Two-Sided Coin. What is it that you were hoping to bring in that was different, hoping that the reader can then be benefited by picking up this one amongst the other plethora of books that are on the shelf and say, hey, I think I got something different from this one here?
So, you know, we're not always trying to find something different when we write books.
Okay.
We are always trying to put out a message. And the message is that the way we've been programmed by American television, the way we've been programmed by American books,
mm-hmm.
we think that is the only way.
Yes.
But we forget all the, you know, the basic traumas of the black child, all the struggles of the black child, or all the, you know, not having a father in the home to teach you how to treat a woman, all those things
mm-hmm.
that we struggle from. And the core issue is that love, or the way you love your wife, could be connected to the way you were raised as well.
Okay.
And who raised you, and who blueprinted you, and, you know, all those things. How did you see your father treat your mother when your mother was angry? How did you see your father, you know, treating your mother when your mother needed to be listened to? And those things were never modeled to us because we didn't have fathers in our lives, right? And I wanted to bring a message to say, let's come back to us as black people. How are we raised? How are we processing this love thing? How are we processing relationships, you know, in relation to ourselves, and how it kills us to have multiple partners before we even get married. It really destroys a young man, you know. In the black society, they believe that a woman should be married a virgin, but a boy child needs to go out and get experience. But that experience is killing you, because you always also have this mentality of, ah, if this woman doesn't treat me nice, I'll go get another one, because it's easy to do that in South Africa, well, in Africa as a whole. You know, so I wanted to show people that, guys, let's look at where we come from. Let's try to be better. And when we are better, then we build a generation of our children
100%.
Who are better at love, who will not look at love and say, yo, this is a trap. Who will not look at marriage and say, marriage is a chain. You know, there are people who actually are having successful marriages out there. There are people that are having successful relationships out there. You just have to see them. And I see them. I see them every day. I see my pastor has been married for, he was celebrating 18 years of marriage. I see friends, you know, who got married at a young age and they're still married. They're happy. You know, it's about, you know, the blueprint. We need to stop this thing of saying, if a boy is a virgin, then there's a problem with him. It's no problem. And yeah, basically that's the summary.
That's profound. No, thank you so much. And I think that that other perspective is a story that certainly needs to be told. And thank you so much for that. maybe as we draw to the close, writing this book, how has it perhaps changed the way you view communication, you view relationships, you view this idea of emotional connection, love in itself? If so, in any way, perhaps as you came in, you already had this idea of there has to be a different approach, right? But maybe in your engagement with the content, the research, you actually got to learn a bit more than you had before.
You know, when I was writing it, I also learned a couple of things that actually brought me down, you know, to say, when you get into a relationship with somebody with the plans to marry them, you need to understand their love language.
Okay.
But it's for me also, because I come from a background of researching about how the fatherlessness can affect relationship and marriage for both the woman and the man as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I learned was to also, and this is a bit weird, but it's done mostly by Zulu people, that when you get to meet their daughter and you want to go to their home to introduce mm-hmm. yourself, the first question they ask you, who your father is, has your father been in your life? They're not trying to provoke you or make you angry. They're just trying to see, you know, where you're coming from and how's your home. Yes. So for me, it's always about, let's discuss what's your background, where you come from, how do you want to be loved, what makes you feel loved, what makes you feel appreciated. And I listen to those things and I do those things. Because in most cases, you know, when I used to get into a relationship, I used to buy flowers, and somebody doesn't want flowers. You know, somebody believes flowers are not eaten. You can't eat flowers. They want the chocolate, you know.
Yeah.
And now I've learned to rather listen instead of thinking that somebody wants something. It's important to ask. If you ask, you get clarity in everything. When you ask, you they get clarity. If somebody says they don't like flowers, I know sometimes women, as they get older, their priorities change. And then one day the chocolate is not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
You know, 4x4 might work. Yeah. But, you know, but it's important to ask.
Yes.
If something doesn't make her happy anymore, ask her nicely, honey, what can I do to make you happy now? You know, and also communicate yours, honey. No, I love it. I love it when you are more available. I like it when you are supportive and everything. And when you find somebody who listens and you are also a listening person, I'm telling you, it's going to be very smooth.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
Yeah.
But the challenge now, but Patrick, is that, and maybe I know I'm starting a different conversation altogether. If you keep asking, they will tell you, you never know by yourself. You must know these things.
Yeah, that's why you need to get it.
You know, you must know. You keep asking me questions. Why don't you just know?
And that's why you need to get somebody who's emotionally intelligent. I don't think we assess our partners, you know, before we get into a relationship. And I think most people learn that as they grow older. First thing, you need to assess the mental health of a person you want to date. You know, one important factor for a man is that you need to learn to curb your desires of the body, of the bum, of the breast and everything else. You need to learn to curb that, because I'm telling you, that's not going to last forever. You need to check somebody's mental health in both ways. Women also check your men's mental health. How serious are they taking their mental health? What is their reasoning capacity basically in life? What is their way of life? How do you plan on raising kids together? What do you believe? What are your beliefs? And religion wise as well, what do you believe in? Who do you believe in? You know,
I think religion. We don't really take time to have them when it matters. We think it's about dating, is about, you know, going out and watching movies and going to the park. There's much more serious conversation that need to be had.
Well, Sadie, much more.
But Patrick, our time is out, but I wanted us to wrap up with inside info. Where can people get the book, and where can they get in touch with you?
Awesome. So you can order the book on Google Books. If you can type Neo the Soul Healer on Google, you can find all my information there. Or alternatively, you can WhatsApp me on 071-957-4623. 071-957-4623. I'm also on Facebook as Neo Soul Healer Mabileta. I'm on Instagram as Neo the Soul Healer.
Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Thank you so much,
Mbana. Awesome. Thank you. God bless you
and thank you for your time indeed.
I appreciate you.
Wonderful stuff. Now, that's how you can get in touch with our author for today in our author's corner, chatting to Patrick Neo Mabileza, popularly known as Neo the Soul Healer. And you can find him as that on the platforms. And of course, the book, like you said, The Language of Love, a two-sided coin, available on Google Books.
You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.